I don't know if you've been watching the forum a lot here, Shadow Meld. That's a lie. Nobody posts more than us in a day. But the point I'm making here is, did you see the topic of people making suggestions to us? How did you feel about that?
Listen, it's my territory. You guys need to back off. No, wait, I'm just kidding. Bring them on.
Well, yeah, exactly. You're going to have to step up your game. I had a dream the other night where one of the posters on the forum actually came up with every idea there could be, which rendered our podcast completely useless. And then you just went insane. So I'm kind of hoping that happens. We need more suggestions.
If I'm a nefarious geneticist, how do I go insane?
I'm going to think that one through. Welcome to episode 2 of The Prep Area. I'm your host, RJ Retro, along with the nefarious geneticist himself, Shadow Meld. Good Tuesday to you.
Yeah, Tuesday, right. Yeah.
I think that's the safest bet because I've been watching how many people have been listening to the podcast, and the bulk of the people are listening on Tuesday. So for everyone else who listens on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, it's still cool and everything. But you're in the past. You know, we're already like 4 days ahead of them.
One of these days we're going to have a welcome to the show, we don't care what day it is intro, one of these days.
Today's not that day. Today is Tuesday. And the theme today, this is a fun one. I really enjoyed this. It's Team Black and Blue. And this isn't just going to be teams that are going to be so physical that they're going to render you bruised and beaten, although they might. But these are going to be teams based around those specific colors. And the blue team is going to be the main event this week. And the card that we're focusing on, Team Blue, is one that doesn't get any love whatsoever. You almost never see it get mentioned unless people are saying, oh, I wish that card was better. So that's what we decided to do for Team Blue. However, for Team Black, is there an individual card that really stands out above everything else?
Oh, yeah. The reason I decided to make Team Black is because I wanted to make a Black Widow that wasn't Serena.
Oh, okay.
A viable card, because everyone uses Serena. And I feel like your Black Widow dice, if you don't have the $70 rare, should still be able to be used. And so that's why Team Black is Team Black.
And we're going to start with Black Widow then. We'll get it right underway. Black Widow, natural. You went with the common.
I did go with the common. She's a two-cost fist character, Avengers team affiliation. And she says, at the end of the attack step, spin each character engaged with the Black Widow down one level. Now, this happens before damage clears. So if she survives the attack step and is still engaged with a target, they spin down one level, and then if they're still taking enough damage to kill them after they've spun down, then they die. It's not really the best card because Black Widow's defensive stats are relatively poor, and so it's unlikely that she's going to survive most fights, but she's a really cheap fist, and she does have a secondary effect with the rest of the team. Spoiler alert, this team's going to do a lot of spinning.
Oh, lots of spinning. When we tested these teams out, I was so annoyed with just how much spinning there was. And so we'll move on here. Normally I would jump to another Avenger, but we don't have any. So we'll work our way up in terms of the fist characters. So we just had a two-fist Black Widow. Now we're going to talk about a four-fist Black Canary. Again, we're not going with the super rare. This time we're using the uncommon. It's Black Canary Crime Fighter.
The super rare probably would be better in this deck. But in this instance, the four cost Black Canary isn't all that bad. And one thing she does is when she's fielded, no sidekicks can block. This deck really focuses on spinning people down and doing damage to them. The thing about sidekicks is they can't spin, so you can't do damage to them, so you can't clear them off the board. So when you field her, if you spin down all of their other characters and some of your effects will allow you to KO them because they're spun down, you'll see. The sidekicks won't be affected, so if they just can't block, then you can still swing for lethal and just not worry about the sidekicks. So she's kind of like a sidekick board clear but without actually prepping for your opponent. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah, we didn't really get to see her in our test because I didn't really field any sidekicks unless I was going to use a specific global, of which we will talk about a little bit later on. And if you play a lot of Dice Masters, I think you know what we're talking about. But focusing on Team Black here, in terms of the spinning and the importance of spinning, we're going to go to our first character that does not have the word black in the name, but is still a very good character that causes some spinning. And you can explain how this has to do with the blackness. Beast creature, this would be the uncommon 3-cost mask with the X-Men ability.
One other thing about creature, although we're not really using it effectively in this deck, is that he's one of the few dice in the game that can actually have 5 copies on your team. And it might be worth considering bringing 5 of him instead of 4, because he's really, really, really a good defensive wall for this team. So if you do need to go highly defensive, you could get 5 of them and have your Professor X ramp still work. But what he says is, when Beast blocks, spin the blocked character down 1 level. If it is already level 1, knock it out. And if Beast is level 1 with his level 1 burst, if the blocked character is knocked out by this ability, also gain 2 life. With the amount of spinning we're doing on this team, it is likely that Beast will be able to KO somebody, which means you may get life gain out of it, which is crazy that when your opponent attacks, you KO their character and gain life and don't lose anything.
You don't hear a lot about gaining life in this game being really beneficial to you, but I think this team actually uses that very well, and so Beast Creature has a very valuable role on this team for sure. We'll move on to the... how do I want to do this? We're going to go to the character that I thought was probably the most annoying, because I didn't really expect it. This is the only rare on this team, but there's a specific reason why he's there, and he's quite valuable. Vibe, formerly Hardline. We're using 3 of his dice. He's a 4-cost bolt. Again, he is the rare, but explain just why he is such an annoying beast whilst not actually being Beast.
He is the core of the removal for this team. We're doing a lot of spinning, which is great, but our opponent will still have characters, right? He will still have low-level characters, or, you know, even low-level defensive characters are still hard to remove. But what Vibe does is, while Vibe is active, whenever an opposing character spins up or down, Vibe deals 2 damage to that character. In most cases, if you deal 2 damage to a character that just spent down, that's the effectiveness of doing 3 damage. Some cases, that's as good as doing 5 damage. That's crazy good. If we combo that with another card that we have later, and we also do damage to our characters in addition to that, then you could kill your opponent just by spinning them down once and clear the board, so that on your turn, you can just swing through because he had to die.
4 characters left to talk about. I'm actually not sure which combo you're talking about. So which is the next character you want to talk about?
Toad.
Toad is
amazing.
The newest addition to the team, you're going with the common Toad, the 5-cost fist, the villain. We're using 3 of his dice, tongue lashing. Yeah, he is actually really solid.
We've got our beasts, right? They're really great blockers. One of the problems is making your opponent attack you. And what Toad does is, while Toad is active, each non-sidekick character must attack if legal. Now, because this is an each, it gets around can't be targeted effects like Lord of D and things like that. And he just forces your opponent to attack. But even better, if Toad is on his level 1 or level 2 face, he also has a burst that says opposing characters take 2 damage when they attack. That means not only do all of your characters have to attack, they also take 2 damage for doing that. Then, if you block with Beast in the Declare Blockers step, they spin down 1, and if Vibe is out, they take 2 more damage. So they took 2 damage plus spinning down, which is like 1 to 2 damage, plus 2 more damage. And if they didn't die from spinning down from Beast, then they die from getting the 2 damage from Vibe. And if that doesn't trigger it, you're still blocking with Beast and are likely to KO their characters. I mean, 7 damage, to be conservative, 6 damage will kill most things in the game.
And let's make it even scarier, because there are 2 other characters on this team. We'll just get it. Okay, actually, I'll get the final one out of the way right now. Professor X Recruiting Young Mutants, one die, and it's there for PXG Global. However, the last two characters on this team will even do damage possibly to these characters before you do anything with Toad. And we'll start first with Marvel Girl, Telekinetic, the common, a 6-cost Bolt, X-Men affiliation. We're using 2 of her dice, and if she comes on the field, spinning down right away.
Yeah, everybody. Again, not targeting. You just spin down everything on the field. All your opponent's characters get spun down. So you field Marvel Girl, Toad's out there, all your opponent's characters are taking 2, they're taking 2 more. Crazy. It's just absolute board clear through spinning and AoE damage.
So obviously a very strong ability. And another one here that I was really happy to see on this team, this is the uncommon Venom. Usually you hear people talk about Angelo Fortunato, the rare Venom, who we actually used two weeks ago. And I'm a big fan of Eddie Brock. So Mac Gargan, the uncommon, the villain, the 5-cost fist that we're using 2 of his dice, you don't really hear a lot about. But I think it has to do with the fact that he does something to somebody, regardless of whether they're a fist, a bolt, or whatever.
Venom is a pretty expensive blocker. And it says, if Venom blocks and knocks out a non-fist character, he deals 2 damage to your opponent and you gain 1 life. And then he has a global that says, pay a fist to spin an opponent's fist character down 1 level. 2 parts here. Let's talk about his ability first. If Venom blocks and knocks out a non-fist character, well, we're making all of your characters attack. If he blocks and knocks out a sidekick, then he deals 2 damage to your opponent and you gain 1 life. If he blocks and knocks out their Quanon assassin, or if he blocks, and more importantly, they're taking 2 damage from attacking with Toad. So this Venom, even if he's at level 1, is a 4-4. That means he's doing effectively 6 damage. If it's a fist character that your opponent's attacking with, and say you're forcing them to attack, and then you just spend a fist global to spin the character down. And we've already talked about how spinning characters down triggers vibe and does damage. And great, you can spin fists at will, which means fist characters are the easiest to remove, which means your opponent really shouldn't be buying them. And that synergizes with Venom's 2 damage to your opponent and gain 1 life effect for knocking out a non-fist character. So one way or the other, your opponent's going to get punished for fielding anything.
So just a quick recap on the team before we get to the basic action cards. We've got Black Widow Natural, 3 dice. Black Canary Crime Fighter, 2 dice. Beast Creature, 4 dice. Vibe, formerly Hardline, 3 dice. Toad Tongue Lashing, 3 dice. Marvel Girl Telekinetic, 2 dice. Venom, Mac Gargan, 2 dice. And Professor X, whichever one you want to use, with 1 die. Now, the basic action cards, some people may be listening to this and would guess, assuming they didn't click on the spoiler link that contains the two teams already, they may guess that Focus Power would be on this team. That's the spin 1 target character up or down 1 level on its main face, on its first burst, spin another target character up or down 1 level, or 2 bursts, spin another target character up or down 1 level. Now, I know this was originally going to be on the team, but you decided to bump it because you've got so much spinning already that why would you bother spending the 3 energy to buy Focus Power?
Yeah, so I decided to go with Distraction because the easiest combo I could think of is if your opponent does attack, you can block with Beast and then just pay a mask and send them back. They've already spun down once, and if that didn't KO them, they have to attack again next turn, and Beast will get to spin them down again until he finally KOs them from spinning them down so much. And so Distraction just basically lets you say, nope. Nope. Okay, sure. Bye. Yeah, and there's nothing they can do because unless they like relentless you to prevent you from declaring blockers, they can't get through.
And they're going to have to spend a lot of energy to use the relentless in that way. And it still doesn't even mess up your plan all that much. You could feasibly have 4 beasts out on the field. You might have 5 beasts out on the field. And so they're going to spend 5 energy to relentless you 5 times. I think we'll take that all day. So
while we're talking about that, having multiple beasts on the field really does help because each one is declared as a blocker and triggers its when blocking effect. So a level 3 character blocked by 3 beasts is KO'd.
That's going to do a lot of damage. If you've got all 5 beasts on there, you could spin something down 3 times, spin something else down 2 times. Yeah, it's a pretty beasty combination. Ha ha ha. Now, If that enrages you, well, good, because that's the next basic action card, and I promise to try not to segue like that the rest of this podcast.
I doubt that'll happen. Yeah, enrage, basic action, 3 generic. It says, choose a character. That character must attack at its next opportunity. Spin that character up one level, if able. So sometimes it's nice for us to spin our characters right before we're going to attack. But more importantly, you can force your opponent to attack if, for example, you can't get Toad out, or you know, you only have enough to buy Enrage instead of Toad. You can use this as spot removal to force your opponent to attack into you. Now, one of the penalties to that is they have to spin their character up. But if Vibe is out, you could use this to remove low-level characters, force them to spin up and take 2 damage. So there's a little bit of variability in there. There's also the global, which is pay a bolt, give it 1 character plus 1 attack. And we're going to have some bolts from having Marvel Girl cycle through because she has a wind fielded effect. This card is the best bump card that has a spin effect. So that's why it's here.
I'm not sure how this would work exactly, but I do think that there are some characters that have bursts that you may actually prefer to get them off of that burst.
That is a good point. You could spin up the Hulk to force him to go to his level 3 face, and then he would take 2 damage and not be able to KO your level 2 and 3 characters. So that's just something to think about.
Excellent. So that's Team Black, and it's a very strong team. We both thought that maybe Blue would be the better team, and you know what? You were still able to beat a strong team with this team. Obviously, you had a bit of an advantage playing somebody who's not good at the game in any way, shape, or form, but nevertheless, you played this team. Did you find it fun?
Yeah, I found it fun, and I think the change we made to add Toad and Distraction will really make it significantly more competitive. You could probably take this team to a local store event and do really well at it if you learn how to pilot it. It starts out as a defensive team where you make a couple great purchases and keep up your wall, and then you transition into a massive board clear maneuver and then swing in for lethal damage. It's that type of team. So if you think you're good at piloting those types of teams, this might be a good one for you.
All right, so that's it for Team Black, and it's time to move on to Team Blue. So this is the team that I used. I had a blast playing with it, and we wanted to focus this team around a certain character that doesn't get a lot of love. So first off, we'll get the obligatory Professor X recruiting young mutants out of the way. This team has PXG. You just have to accept it and move on. But the first real character that matters, Thing, Grim Ben. You decided on the 5-cost Fist, the uncommon, the Fantastic Four affiliation. We're using 3 of his dice. Tell us about the Thing. Tell us about the core of this blue team.
Sure. Now, I need to correct you here. There is no way that this character doesn't get love. But I'll tell you what, he doesn't get any respect, which I believe is one of his most famous quotes. We're not using the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing, even though this is the blue team. We are using Grim Ben, and the reason we're doing that is his ability. At the start of the attack step, if your opponent has more fielded characters than you, Thing gets +3 attack and +3 defense. Our team is focused around having a few really strong characters to just overcrush our opponent with. We're not going to build up a solid wall. If we do get a bunch of sidekicks out there, we're going to be getting rid of them on purpose. We're going to have less characters on the board than our opponent. But by doing that, we're just going to crush our opponent in the face, because that +3/+3 is huge. And don't forget, the +3/+3 also helps when you're defending. So if you do have, say, a really nasty multi-damage targeting effect roll spin down team, your level 1 Thing is still a 6/6 when they come swinging over. So that's something to keep in mind.
And we'll talk more about removing sidekicks in a little bit. But first, we'll go in the order of generally how you're going to buy these characters. Obviously, you're not going to buy Thing first, but he is sort of the cornerstone of this team. The first character we would look to be buying is a well-known character that's even on the other team, but a different version. This is Beast Mutate 666. 4 dice, 2 cost mask, and I mean, this isn't even being punny. He's legitimately a beast in every way. He's a perfect character for this team.
Yeah, we aren't going to have a giant wall of blockers, but we do have the ability to get them out and buy them if we need to. For the most part, we're buying Mutate 666 for his two cost mask ability. If we do field him, he's a really good blocker. He preps a dive for us. If anybody played back in the days of AVX, this is what you did before Professor X was around. You just created this giant wall of beasts. But for us, we don't mind putting a beast out in the field, going around, seeing if our opponent attacks into the beast, and then getting rid of the beast before our next turn so we can roll some extra masks. Because we don't need a large number of characters on the field, but it helps if we get him out there.
Exactly. Another character, this one we would want to field. It's a three-cost Fist from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Set. And actually, to note as well, in the Team Black, it was a superhero-only team. This one will use characters or basic actions from every set minus the Justice League, I believe. So we'll move on to Blade Knight from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Set. Solo act, four dice, three-cost Fist. And it's the uncommon.
So I briefly mentioned that we were going to do some Overcrush. And this guy, when this monster, aka character, attacks alone, any damage it deals in excess of the defense of its blockers is dealt to your opponent, aka when this character attacks alone, he gets Overcrush. So it's an Overcrush team with a three-cost Overcrushing character. Might not sound like a lot, but we might have a way or two to pump our characters early. And this guy is a five attack at level three. Three Fists for a five attacking Overcrush is pretty good. Pretty good.
If you're starting first, if you're going first and you get this guy out really quickly, I mean, even his fielding cost is not that bad. He's a 1-1-2 in terms of his total fielding cost. And getting that character out by himself and attacking by himself, hey, that's all right. That's not too bad at all. We'll take that.
Yeah, and if your opponent does block, we have some ways to make his Overcrush more efficient than going unblocked. So we'll talk about that later, but he's really good.
Indeed we shall. We'll move on to Cyclops. First off, actually, for those who are not familiar with Blade Knight solo act, like myself, actually, to be honest, how does he fit into the blue category? Is he a blue knight?
His die is blue on blue.
That works for me.
His armor on the card is blue on blue. He's blue. And yeah, lots of blue.
So that you're saying that Blade Knight lives in the blue world and all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue like him? Inside and outside, etc. We'll move on to Cyclops, Slim, three dice.
I thought you said you weren't going to make any more of these transitions.
Tactically, that wasn't a transition. That was just random singing of an Eiffel 65 classic. And I'm willing to put out that it was a classic. Going to Slim, a five-cost Bolt, the common X-Men affiliation, obviously.
When I first started making this team, I was like, well, how are we going to do a blue team? And I'm like, oh, I really want to use blue-eyed Ben Grimm. And then, spoiler alert, there's also a blue-eyes white dragon on this team. And then I was like, blue eyes. And Cyclops immediately came to mind. Turns out this version of Cyclops is perfect for an Overcrush team. When Cyclops is blocked by more than one character, he deals damage equal to his full attack to each character blocking him instead of having to split it. What this means is if your opponent blocks Cyclops with more than one character, you do your full damage and you add up all the defense of all of your characters. And then you take your attack and you multiply it by the number of those characters. So, for example, a level three Cyclops is a six attack. And let's say you got blocked by three guys who were all 4/4s. So their defense is 12. Your attack is 18. You do 6 points of Overcrush damage. When if they had just blocked with one character, you would have only done 2 points of Overcrush damage. So that's pretty good. The multiplication of the Overcrush makes it really good for you.
And if anyone's thinking that's a stretch for a blue team, it's not as bad as us having Marvel Girl on Team Black and just saying, well, her name's Jean Grey. Grey is a fairly dark color at times.
Hey, did I ever mention why Beast was on the Team Black? I'm not sure I did. Creature is the Dark Ages version of Beast from a Dark Ages storyline that happens in the dark, black, forgotten timeline. Okay, enough of that.
And Toad is just black-hearted. We're going to move on to this is one of the ones we're talking about in terms of sacrificing your sidekicks. Iceman, too cool for words, but we're going to need to use words to explain his ability. We're using three of his dice, five bolts, and if you're not familiar with this X-Men-affiliated character, here's Shadow Meld to explain it.
Yeah, okay. So most of the time when you see somebody bringing too cool for words, you don't see them bringing three dice. There's a secret to Iceman. First of all, his ability is once per turn, you may spend a bolt to double Iceman's attack. That's the secret. On an Overcrush team, being able to double your stats is amazing because that doubling of stats is all direct damage to your opponent. Iceman, though, is often used on higher tier teams for his global, which is pay one bolt to spend any number of your sidekick dice to their bolt side. If active, move them to your reserve pool. This means you can take all your sidekicks out of the field, spend them to the bolts, and put them back in your reserve pool. You can also spend any sidekicks in your reserve pool to more bolts. And bolts are really good because they allow us to do all the other globals on our team except for one. And they may even let us use some globals on our opponent's team. So bolts are really effective that way. And one of the reasons why bolts are effective would be...
Blue Eyes White Dragon. Obviously, one of the more popular cards to come out of the set that is known as Yu-Gi-Oh! And yes, I had to check because I always get the Blue Eyes White Dragon confused with all the dragons from the Dungeons & Dragons set. But this is the rare. It's a 7-cost bolt. You're only bringing one die, and it's specifically for its global, I'm guessing.
Yeah. The ability, which is once per turn, you may knock out one of your monsters to give this monster +3 attack, isn't all that important. If you do happen to buy the guy, then great. You can knock out a sidekick to get some more Overcrush damage in because you're going to swing with him when you have Overcrush, right? Right? Okay. Yeah. But no, mostly it's his global, which is to pay a bolt, knock out one of your monsters to reduce the cost of the next die you buy by 2 energy. So we can knock out our beasts or our sidekicks to get us a 2-cost discount on all of our big stompy Overcrush characters like Fang, Cyclops, even Iceman can get his cost reduced to something effective. Heck, we could use Blue Eyes to kill some sidekicks and make Blue Eyes affordable. You spend 3 bolts, KO 3 sidekicks you put out some turns ago, and Blue Eyes now only costs you 1 more bolt. So spend 4 bolts and you get a Blue Eyes. That sounds pretty good. You could spend 1 bolt and roll some sidekicks down to bolts. So anyway, you could roll whatever you wanted. If you had 3 sidekicks in the field and you rolled 1 bolt and had 4 other dice, you could buy Blue Eyes.
And the final member of the team to talk about, who I actually just forgot. I wanted to talk about the basic actions, but I just realized, oh wait, no, we forgot about the man of action himself, Cable. He is the 4-cost bolt, 1 dice. Obviously, I think you're bringing him because of his global ability.
Yeah, his regular ability is when Cable is blocked, deal 1 damage to an enemy character, which is interesting when synergized with Overcrush, because it basically lets you get 1 more damage when you're Overcrushing. But more importantly, he has a global that's pay 2 bolts, which we know we can generate bolts with Iceman, and deal 1 damage to target enemy character. Again, damage allows you to get 1 extra Overcrush damage in. And that character must block this turn if able. And you may be saying, well, why do you want them to block? Wouldn't your Overcrush character do better without being blocked? Because he'd get in for all damage instead of killing a character and having his damage reduced. Well, not exactly. And the reason behind that is...
Obviously, you're teeing me up for something, so I'm guessing it will be the fact that we have basic actions. And yes, it is. Okay, now it makes sense. Now it makes sense, because this is one I'd never looked at before you made this team, and now it's one of my favorites. This is from the Dungeons & Dragons set, Cone of Cold, the basic action card. It's I'm going to read the ability and then you're going to read the global, because I don't think we purchased it once. Deal 1 damage to 1 character, 2 damage to 2nd character, 3 damage to a 3rd character. You may only use this action if there are at least 3 characters in the field, which there should be, because we've got a team of Thing and killing beasts and so forth. So we're going to have less characters than the opponent generally. And that's neat. But really, it's the global ability that makes this worthwhile.
Yeah, well, you could use that ability to, catch back up since you've been playing less characters than your opponent. You could buy this to catch back up in a difficult situation where you're getting swarmed. What's really important is the global pay 1 fist. 1 blocked attacker gets +2 attack, which is basically a 2-for-1. Normally, it's pay an energy, get +1 damage. In this case, it's pay 1 energy, get +2 damage. Why would I want Cable to block somebody? Well, that's easy. I want Cable to block so that I can spend my fists and get +2 damage instead of spending my fists to get plus one, or spinning my bolts to get plus one. That's why we use Cone of Cold, because it's more efficient for an overcrush team.
And to make this an overcrush team, we need to give everybody overcrush, or give multiple characters overcrush.
Yeah, Thrown Car. Two of your characters get plus one attack, and basically the rest of the card says, and overcrush. The reason we're using this version of overcrush as opposed to some of the other ones that are out there is the Horn of the Unicorn card doesn't reliably grant overcrush, even though it's pay a bolt, give target character plus one attack. And Anger Issues, the new Justice League one, while it does give you a single target plus three, it has a global that is pay one fist, get plus one attack. And we would rather not let our opponent have a fist to get plus one attack ability. We would rather blocked attackers get plus two attack, which is something we can control and benefits us, as opposed to the global, which benefits everybody of Anger Issues. So it's a slightly sneakier way, and it allows us to give overcrush to two characters. Since we're likely going to have cheap overcrushers and expensive overcrushers, we can pair them together. So we can Thrown Car onto Blade Knight and Thing. And normally Blade Knight wouldn't have overcrush when he attacks with Thing, but Thrown Car allows us to pair on both of them. So both of them can be threats for us to pump fists into.
Just to recap, Thing, three dice. Beast, four dice. I'll actually say what they are. Thing, Grim, Ben, we're using three dice. We're picking Beast, Mutate, 666, four dice. Blade Knight, solo act with four dice. Cyclops Slim would have three dice. Iceman, too cool for words, three dice. Blue Eyes, White Dragon, the monstrous dragon, the rare, the one dice, or the one die there just for its global. Cable, Man of Action, one die. That's the common. And finally, Professor X, Recruiting Young Mutants. It's there because it's the most usable global in the game. It helps with your ramp. I mean, one die, it's there because until there's a better option or more thematic options, we're going to be forced to put Professor X on many of these teams to at least give them a chance to be viable. So Team Black and Team Blue, I really liked both of these teams. But one thing we didn't really do is talk about what your goal is when you go first, when you go second, etc. So let's go back with Team Black.
The Black Widow is almost a secondary character in this team. I want the team to be focused around her, but unfortunately, her ability to spin people down is just a little less reliable than Beast's. So the way it works is if you have to buy Black Widow, or if you have the spare money or the spare energy to buy Black Widow, pick her up because it won't hurt you. But if you can pick up creature into Vibe, and then after that, go for Toad into Venom, those four characters, if you can get them on the board, and then maybe some extra Beasts or some Black Widows, however you want to do it, great, perfect. You've got the lockdown. You're going to be able to clear the board relatively quickly and then swing for nearly lethal damage. If you're on the defensive, like going second or what have you, then definitely want to go Beast first. Not even think about Black Widow, because she's just not as good of a defensive character as Beast is.
Switching to Team Blue, the first purchase, I think this one, it has to be Beast, but you could also look at the Blade Knight.
Yeah, if you're going first, Blade Knight first, go aggressive, go hard. Your job is to smash your opponent in the face as hard as you can. If you buy Blade Knight turn one and then can ramp enough to get to Thang on turn two, great. If you can't, buy Blade Knight turn one, buy another Blade Knight turn two, and then on turn three, swing with one of them, turn four, swing with the other. And any fists you have to spare, you can just overcrush your opponent if he does block you, and just pump the fists from Cone of Cold into the Blade Knight. That's just your early aggression. If you can ramp into things like Thang or Cyclops or even Iceman, great. You can pick up the Beasts if you need to get a wall up. But again, this team is swing with your fists and swing hard. You don't even really want to get a lot of characters out there to fill up your field, because when you do get Grim Ben, he wants to be outnumbered. He really, really enjoys it. So yeah. That's the plan there.
All right, so that's Team Black, Team Blue. We call this episode Black and Blue for a reason. So both very fun teams to play. I actually didn't think about taking Blade Knight first, but yeah, that makes more sense. We didn't originally have Blade Knight on the team. He was added later and I think fits very well with a blue team. So is there anything on here that I need to get you to explain in terms of the black and blue? I think we covered it all quite nicely. What's sort of your final thought for the black versus blue?
I think that if blue gets off and gets going quick and fast and black misses anything, blue's probably going to have the advantage. But if black can get the control down, Ben Grimm swinging into a beast can be a problem. Don't forget the mask from distraction can just send Ben back. And then he's now level one or level two. And then you do it again. And swinging with one solid attacker can easily get countered by distraction. So if you're looking to upgrade the blue team to something a bit more competitive, you may want to find something to protect your big super attackers from being distractioned or things like that. Maybe look at Doom Caliber Knight and his global. As for the black team, you could probably pull out a character or two to make room for a few more globals, kind of like Team Blue has. But for the most part, I think it is competitive enough as it is to put up a good fight.
All right, so that's this episode, Team Black and Team Blue, or the Black and Blue combination here. That's all the time we have for today, but I want to tease an idea that I have for either the next episode or a future episode. I don't know when we're going to do this, but pretty much what I'm going to do is create my own meta, and it's going to require a lot of you folks that play the Dice Masters game online, whether that be through Google Hangouts, whether that be through Vassal, however you do it. I would like to create a meta and create my own ladder and get Shadowmeld, the nefarious geneticist's help in creating some of those maybe inaugural teams to deal with. This would be one of those ladders or tournaments, let's say, that would have a trophy that's just a lot smaller than the other trophies that you would normally win. And that's the only hint that I'm going to give to that. That's all the time we have for Shadowmeld, the nefarious geneticist. I don't care how many times I say it. I love saying it because it's proving that I'm learning to say it properly. We had to start this episode over because I kept saying geneticist first.
Yeah, I don't know. I have an idea for a meta. Why don't we do a meta with no mask characters? We can call it RJ's Meta of No Cunning.
Oh, that wouldn't be me. That would be yours, man. That would be your Meta of No Cunning. And what my meta would be if I was going to create a second one, which I'm not going to, but if I was going to, it would be all fists. So pretty much I'm just punching you in the face all day.
All right. Hey, one thing before we go. If anybody has any challenges they want to issue us in the comments of the post on the front page of the Reserve Pool, if you have a character you really want us to build a team around, feel free to post there. We might pick some good ideas out, and maybe I'll make a team around a character that you like.
Or, yeah, continue making suggestions that we already had ideas for and just drive Shadowmeld insane.
Don't do that.
It's going to happen. We're out of time. Y'all have a great rest of your day, afternoon, evening, morning, Saturday, whatever Tuesday. It is.
Tuesday, remember? It's Tuesday.
Enjoy your rest of your Tuesday. Good night. Good day, whatever.